Photographer Cameron McLaren has a knack for capturing humans in intimate or unusual moments. McLaren's immersive style has seen him embedded with the Gloria Vale Christian community on the West Coast and with the New Zealand police, to the point of accompanying them on a drug bust on a Wellington property. He was commissioned by the Washington Post to highlight what was happening here in Aotearoa during COVID-19 and the lockdowns in 2020. And Cameron joins me now. Kia ora, Cameron.
Kia ora, Julian. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And thank you so much for coming on the program. How did you establish this relationship and connection with the Washington Post?
Olivier, the photo editor, contacted me about a year prior to this work, just expressing his appreciation, I suppose, of my work following on from the Christchurch massacre.
Why did you say yes to the gig, for all intents and purposes? Because it must be hard for someone like yourself, for a cameraman, to be going around filming shots of areas where there is no human interaction, where in a lot of cases there are no humans.
Yeah, well, that's right. It was very challenging. I felt a major sense of responsibility to represent New Zealand fairly and honestly. Knowing that knowing how large the international audience of the Washington Post was, it was one of the more challenging assignments I've had.
What was the specific brief that they gave you, Cameron?
Well, I guess this work was a follow-on from a post they'd made on Instagram, where basically they said New Zealand. I think it was something along the lines of New Zealand isn't just flattening the curve, it's squashing it. And this kind of gained huge, huge public response in the States and huge positive response towards New Zealand. So they wanted to follow on from that and basically just visually represent what was going on here at the time.
You also said that this is a result of some of the work that you'd done during or after, or during actually the Christchurch shootings in March of 2019. What process do you go through to film, to take images of these situations? For example, like the terror attack of 2019, what process do you go through to do that?
Well, my process is always very much based around connections with people. Usually communities. This connection is what brings people energy. People find energy in the photographs. The viewer has something to relate to. So my work is very much involved with forming a personal connection with people. When I was photographing Auckland during the lockdowns, as you said before, the energy had been vacuumed out of society. Being able to make these connections I was so used to in my work had been taken away from me. So I had to represent that through abstract suggestions of isolation and solitude. It was very unusual.
It sounds really complex to be able to portray the emotion, the human emotion of that situation when humans aren't in the picture. And I guess I'm really curious to see how you do that, what the thought process is as you're trying to do that so that you know you've captured what you need to in that image.
Well, I was on foot aside from, well, I mean, how do I explain it? It's very challenging because you have to maintain your social distance and in that maintain a separation from the subject. So many of the photographs from the period feature individual people, and these people are existing in their own space, void of any association from anyone else. Very unusual.
And as you say, New Zealand is we're quite ingratiating, We like to engage with each other, and people like to say kia ora and that kind of thing. So how were you able to try and capture that in a lockdown situation, if at all?
I guess I wasn't really. you know, that sense of companionship and camaraderie wasn't there. It wasn't there, and it couldn't be there. So I guess that was something that came later, unfortunately. You know, that's only just coming back now, I feel.
You say that your natural process is to get to know people, to engage with people, to help you find the images that you are looking for in your photo essays. How do you do that? What's your process to be able to do that?
How do I find the people?
You're able to get them in those intimate moments and to be able to film them in the way that you want. How do you achieve that?
Well, there's a massive difference between crossing someone's path and approaching them face to face, introducing yourself and saying, I'd like to photograph you, to sending someone an email or a message on Instagram. I think, you know, if you can be face to face with someone, you automatically form a connection. And that's what I do. I always try to be on foot as much as possible. You know, if I'm walking around, it gives me the opportunity to find these people and these situations. And that's why I'm not a huge fan of using social media as a main source of communication in my work.
What motivates you to film and show people interacting, and I'm talking more generally, not just the situation with the Washington Post photo essay that you undertook, but what motivates you to want to film and show people interacting and connecting with each other through photography?
That's a big question, and there's probably a lot of reasons why I do this. But I think you know, predominantly, I feel that it's very important that society and people are photographed so that in years to come we understand what life was like. You know, when we look at historical pictures now of New Zealand in the early 1900s, it really, you know, it makes you understand your place in the world and in the country. I hope that, you know, as time goes on, my pictures will find new meanings and will mean something to my children and hopefully to my grandchildren one day. Yeah.
Where does the want to do that come from, Cameron? Where does that originate from, the want to achieve that, to have that occur, to want to capture that moment for history in New Zealand? Where does that come from?
I guess it would come from, you know, my discovery of photography as a young child through that of my father's influence, looking through his old photo books. You know, it gave me a lens into the world that I'd never seen. You know, as a young child, you don't know what's out there. You haven't traveled. It kind of made me understand that there's a world outside of myself.
And yet your family came from Canada. You were born in Canada, right? And you came to New Zealand as a young child. Why did your family come to Aotearoa?
My father was Australian and... I think he didn't, for whatever reason, he didn't want to go back to Australia. I guess, you know, he didn't want to go back there. So New Zealand was the next best thing. So he came here on his own for a couple of months and, you know, fell in love with the place. And then we all came over and followed him over. And thankfully we did, you know, I'm so thankful. It's a small decision turns into a lifetime of, you know, being a New Zealander. I'm very, very fortunate.
Your photos have a sense of purity about them. There's a lack of kind of intervention, if I can put it that way, and hopefully that makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. How do you develop that?
I work quickly. When I'm photographing, I work very quickly. I work with a small camera. I'm just a person there with the other people. I'm not a photographer at the time. I just want to be there with the people as another person.
In 2020, you won the Voyager Media Award for Best Photo Story Essay. I think that work was based on the time that you spent at Gloria Vale. Why did you want to go to Gloria Vale?
Gloria Vale was a place that, you know, I hadn't heard of it until about 2015, maybe 2014, 2015, a friend of mine told me about the community. And, you know, the idea of a small community living in a remote location that is largely self-sufficient, fascinating. It absolutely fascinated me. And then, of course, while I was there, the community was at the height of, the media, the huge media following at the time. So it was an incredible opportunity for me, one that as a photographer, we dream of. And this will be probably, this work follows me through my career and people are still interested in it, now 5-6 years later.
How were you able to do that? Because it is a fairly restrictive community. Right, there are lots of restrictions upon people who enter into the community itself, and we'll get to some of the other issues that Gloria Vale is dealing with at the moment soon. But it is a very restrictive community for people who go into Gloria Vale itself. So, how were you able to get in to the community and able to find the images that you did for that particular award-winning piece of photojournalism and photo essay?
It was a long process of discussions with members of the community until the point where they invited me to come down. But at the time, Hopeful Christian said to me that, you can come, but we can't guarantee that, you can take your camera out of your bag. But we had lunch together and a long conversation, and he invited me to stay and make pictures. It was just me being honest with them that I wasn't there with any agenda. I just wanted to photograph them. I felt that, and I still do. I feel like it's an important part of New Zealand's history.
How did you engage with members of the community itself?
With respect and understanding, I think. They live a hard life, a very hard life, but at the time, I felt, I felt a great admiration for a lot of what they do there. And I mean this not as a, I mean this on a personal level, with the people, they work very hard, and they have a simple life. And that's something that someone from the outside has to appreciate in this, modern society where we're all so anxious and technology is being forced down our throat constantly. Stepping outside of that was very rewarding for me.
What were you most surprised by during that assignment?
I guess, the scale of their property and their facilities absolutely blew my mind. I didn't realize, we all see pictures of the houses and the grand hall, but I the land and the surrounding landscape, just the scale is incredible.
And of course, you'll be aware now that Gloria Vale is subject to a court case and was being investigated by police in Oranga Tamariki recently. You stayed at Gloria Vale during that assignment. Did you see anything that was of concern around Gloria Vale, the likes of which that is are being investigated now?
No. No, and I certainly wasn't there
looking for
anything either.
Yeah.
No.
The way in which it's fascinating to me that you are able to ingratiate yourself to people like Hopeful Christian and Gloria Vale, or even the police, particularly the National Crime Intelligence Unit, to the point where you're able to go on a drug bust with them. I mean, these are really restricted kind of opportunities that people aren't normally allowed to be a part of. Talk to me particularly about the National Crime Intelligence work piece that you did and that drug bust in Wellington. How were you able to be a part of that operation?
Oh, I think it's just all pretty, standard documentary photography, photojournalism kind of stuff. It's not just me doing it. There's a team of people at the magazine, who support the work. I don't just make a phone call and people go, yeah, come along, It's primarily a collaboration between myself and the editors of the magazine, usually that being New Zealand Geographic. And it's a conversation simply about trying to show what's going on in New Zealand. Yeah, it's just again like all of it. It's just being honest and trying to document what is going on around us.
So how does that conversation happen then, and who does that conversation go with? I mean, there must be someone in police that you have to talk to be able to get the access, right? So how do you identify a person, or how do you find the person to be able to give you the entry point?
Oh, it's just like I said before, you just walk up to someone on the street.
Really? It's that easy?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not that easy. It's that hard.
Yeah.
You walk up to them on the street and you start a conversation, and then you speak to another person, and then another person, and another person. And then a year later, you finally got the person you want to speak to.
And is that person, was the intent at the beginning to get to that person, quote unquote, being the one who was smoking or using drugs in a public toilet somewhere? Was that always the ultimate kind of goal to be able to achieve that at the end of the assignment?
No. There was never any ultimate goal of any kind. It was just simply, to get what you can get. You know, you never know what you're going to get. And, you know, as you work on things, different opportunities unfold. You know, that's it, really.
So how do you end up filming someone in a public toilet that's using drugs and smoking drugs somewhere, I think in Auckland, or in a public toilet somewhere? How does that happen?
How does that happen? I don't know really. I don't really know how to answer that question.
It's an interesting aspect of the work that you do, right? To be able to get yourself in these situations, to get into such an interesting and intimate part of particularly New Zealand society. Are people suspicious when you approach them, given the breadth of work that you've done now as to what you might be able to gain in terms of the photos you take?
No, there's no reason for anyone to be suspicious, because I'm never portraying anyone under any kind of false pretense. It's all honest work. I'm not hiding anything at all. I'm upfront with people right from the beginning.
But what are the questions? No reason. What are the questions that they're asking you when you have these, when you engage with them like this?
Well, it's the same questions that any photographer gets when they go, when you ask someone, "Can I photograph you?" They say, "Why?" And unfortunately, just saying because I want to, that's not enough anymore. You need to have a reason. And usually that reason will be a project you're working on or a magazine you're working for. You know, these days people are suspicious of you if you just go, "Because I want to."
Why do you think we as an audience and members of the New Zealand public are so interested in things that we don't know more, or we normally don't see? Why do you think that is?
Oh, I guess we all want to look behind a closed door. That was kind of always early on in my career as a photographer. It's kind of a ideal I had, was to open up doors that are closed and to look inside. And I think that's just, you know, comes from my curiosity. I think we're all curious people, not just New Zealanders, but everyone in the world.
What's the editing process like? Because you must take a lot of photos, and in some of the presentations that you do, you end up with maybe 10 or between 10 and 20 photos at the end that you display. How do you undertake that editing process?
There's a lot of pictures. I have an archive of hundreds of thousands of photographs, I don't delete any pictures at all. I never delete any photographs. Usually the pictures that are the best pictures are the ones that were the first picture. You know, if I shoot 10 portraits of someone, it's usually the first one I use. And I think that's because, the subject or the environment hasn't had the chance to become too aware of the camera.
So as you say, as we've talked about it, it's more pure. You know, it's more in the moment at that first instance, and that's where you get those first photos, and they end up in the public presentations that you're doing, the lights of works that you're doing at the moment with the Auckland Photographic Festival. How long does that editing process take for you to go through all those images and end up with the final images that are used in presentations and exhibitions?
Oh, not too long. My pictures, I don't spend hours making them look pretty. They kind of are what they are, and then I put together a folder and send them off. It's not a huge process for me. I don't want to spend too long in front of a computer, hopefully.
Look, Cameron, we really appreciate you coming on the program and wish you all the best for your latest piece of work that is being displayed around Auckland at the moment. I think it's on light boxes around the Auckland waterfront, as I say, as a part of the Auckland Photographic Festival. Cameron, we wish you all the best for the future. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Great, thank you.
Photographer Cameron McLaren, whose immersive style has seen an embedded with, as we've talked about, Gloria Vale Christian Community on the West Coast with New Zealand Police. And of course, Cameron's work, as we have said, are now being shown around and displayed on Auckland's waterfront as part of the Auckland Festival of Photography until the 16th of June.